Good morning, church family. How we doing?
Good.
Wow, that was weak. Good morning, church family. It's good to be with you. My name is Zach, and I just came from the Mount Dora campus. We call these Sundays Boomerang Pastor Sundays, just going back and forth. But we're excited. I'm excited to come preach with you and teach with you. Mark and his buddy Jacob, who's at our Mount Dora campus, were in seminary all week this week in an intensive. And so I was like, Mark, I don't need you to prepare a sermon. I'll come do it for you. Isn't this guy great, though, every week? He's amazing. The dream team at Apopka is amazing. So glad you guys are with us. We are closing up a sermon series today called Hearing the Voice of God. And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how amazing it is that we have a speaking God, a God who wants to be in relationship with us. But the problem is we're not connected enough to Him, and we're too connected to the world. And so we entered into 21 days of prayer and fasting. We wanted to pray because we believe that connects us back to God. We wanted to fast because we believe that helps us disconnect from the things of this world. And I just love it. These 21 days have been so fun. And I love a church with the momentum that we have, where we're coming expectant and hungry because we've been maybe even physically hungry, because we've been praying and we've been fasting and we've been expecting God to move. And last week was a pretty awesome service, and hope you're with us. We talked about how God sometimes speaks in a still small voice, a whisper. And I hope you heard loud and clear in that whisper four things that God was saying to you. I love you, I forgive you, I choose you, and I'm coming back for you. We get bombarded so many times with the lies of the enemy that we need to focus on these gospel foundational truths. And last week was an awesome service. So in the first week, I heard that Mark made fun of me because how I handled smoke detectors in my house. And so if we started with that household product, I want to move to another very fun household product as we close the sermon series, a thing called an air filter. How many of you got air filters at your house? If you got air conditioning, you got one there, right? And we've got a couple in our house, and I don't know why, but just changing air filters, it's very easy, but it's annoying, and it's something I put off. If I'm supposed to do it this week, I'll just put it off another week. And it's just one of those annoying things to do. I actually never knew about air filters growing up. My dad and mom, they never talked about air filters. I never saw either one of them changing an air filter. And so I didn't even know there was such a thing called an air filter. So when we got our first condo, Allison and I, in St. Louis, we got to pump the AC to whatever we want because we're independent now and no longer under the heat of my family. And so we were just living large for a little more than a year, just cool air in the summer, heat in the winter. Everything was fine. And a little over a year after, all of a sudden our air conditioner stopped working, and I didn't know how to fix it. I'm not a very handy person. I wasn't passed on those duties and those skills. And so I called an AC repairman and finally got one to come, but it was a minimum, because it was kind of in the busy season, it was a minimum of a $200 charge just to have them come out. It's like, that's fine. We got to do what we got to do. We need AC. And so he came out, and 1 minute after he got there, he said, the problem is fixed. I said, what are you talking, $200 for a minute? What was the problem? And he pulled this thing out, and he said, hey, moron, have you ever seen one of these? I said, no, what is that? I've been so with God all these years, I don't even know about this thing. What is this? And he showed me one side, which was pretty clean and white, and then he flipped it to the other side, and it was black with a hole in the middle of it. And he said, this is called an air filter. Clearly you don't know what this is. I said, no, I don't. Tell me, wise man. And he told me what it was, and then he showed me how to change it, and it's a pretty easy thing to do. But for whatever reason, it's kind of annoying to do. And the reason I bring up filters for you today is what I want to do is I want to give you a voice of God filter to discern whether God's speaking to you or not. And the passage that we start with today comes from 1 John 4, verse 1. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So you have a Holy Spirit that is speaking to you, but you have other spirits that are speaking to you as well. And so how do you know if that's God's voice or not? And let's just say in the first 35 years of my life and 8 plus in ministry, I have been underwhelmed at the ability people have to discern God's voice correctly. Because you've been in conversations with somebody, right? Where they say, God told me dot, dot, dot. And you listen to them and you're thinking like, yeah, I don't think that's God telling you that. God wouldn't say something like that. And it's very difficult after somebody says, God told me to speak any truth, because a lot of times in their mind, God said it and that settles it. And so how do you know if it's the voice of God? How do you know if it's the enemy? Because sometimes he can bring things that sound right that are wrong. Or how do you know if it's just like the lasagna that you ate from last night talking to you? How do you know, how are you able to discern the voice of God in your life? I want to give you three questions in the voice of God filter this morning. Three questions that the voice of God will pass all of these tests all of the time. If they pass 2 out of 3, it's not the voice of God. It's got to pass all 3. And so the first question, come on, let's put it on the screen and let's read it together. Does the Bible agree? This is very much the most important question you can ask if you are trying to discern the voice of God, is does the Bible agree? Now here's the problem. A lot of us that profess ourselves as Christians, according to recent studies, 19% of us are in the Word of God on a regular basis, which means 81% of us, which means 4 out of 5 of us, if we are an accurate picture of the whole representation, 4 out of 5 of us claim to be Bible-believing followers of Jesus, and yet we're not actually in the Word of God on an often basis. That's a problem. And that's probably why we hear people say, God told me, dot, 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 because they have not known the Word of God in their life. God's will never contradict God's Word. Let me say it this way. God's voice will never contradict the Word of God, the Holy Bible. If He said it, let me tell you, it will always be true. And God will never violate a principle that He had once brought up just to give it to you. So any voice that comes, does this line up with what God has in fact already said? And if it contradicts the voice of God, it didn't come from God, because His truth never changes. It's eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never change. They'll never pass away. Truth is eternal, which means that what was true 1,000 years ago is true today, and what is true today will be true 1,000 years from now. I'm telling you, opinions will change, science will change. There will even be facts that will change by the time that you die, but God's word and God's truth will never change. Some people say, well, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not exactly right. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. I thought I'd get a few amens out there on that. I can lie, you can lie, but God cannot lie. Do you believe that? And His word does not lie. So the first question we always ask, is this in harmony with what God's word says? Which means we need to have a deep and growing understanding of the word of God to be able to accurately discern if it's God's voice or not. If what you're saying is and what you're hearing isn't congruent with what you're reading, it is not God. But pastor, God told me to leave my wife of over 2 decades and pursue this mistress over here. Yeah, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound like the voice of God. And maybe somebody's come to you before and told you what God told them, and they've been seeking counsel and advice. And they did that with Jesus, actually. Some Pharisees came to Him to try to test Him, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And I may be bringing up divorce in this verse, and it's not a pet sin. It's just the thing that the Pharisees happened to ask Him about. But I brought it up to show you what Jesus' response is to this question, and I believe to anything else where somebody's asking your opinion. Jesus responds with this: haven't you read? And He quotes the beginning, and He quotes Genesis, that God made us male and female, and let what God joined, let no man separate. This very beautiful verse. And what Jesus is essentially saying is, why are you asking my opinion when it's already been written? By the way, that's a great response that we can have when people come to you for counsel and advice, because there's some things I'm here to say that 10, 20 years ago we called and labeled sin that we're a little bit more relaxed on today. And I get a lot of people that say, well, pastor, what do you think about X, Y, and Z? And sometimes I think it, and every now and then I'll say it, like, what do you think? Why do you think my opinion even matters? I'm not following my feelings. I'm following the Word of God. Is it written? Haven't you read? God is the only one that gets to say what's right and wrong, and we don't follow our feelings, which are fickle. We follow God's Word, which is forever truth. Thank you. You need to be continually growing in your knowledge of God, and what in theology we call the whole counsel of God, which means we're gonna bring everything that God says about this into the picture here. Because what a lot of people do is they're masters at taking one text and taking it out of context to prove something that God didn't actually say. In fact, I'll do it for you right now. I learned something this week that God's Word taught. From the Bible, did you know that you can prove vegetarians have weak faith? I mean, the Bible says it, right? Romans 14, like, this is Romans, not like in the middle of Chronicles somewhere where nobody reads. This is Romans. And it says, one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. So there you go. I mean, God said it, that settles it. Instead of Veggie Tales, we're teaching our kids about Veggie Tales, we should be teaching them seafood stories or meaty memoirs. Or beefy biography. I don't know, just something different than veggies. Because this clearly shows that vegetarians have weak faith. Now, you know that's not true. And I even know some vegetarians that have great faith. I mean, they don't have as good of a life as I have. I mean, last night I had, at Ryan, the guy that he had a little birthday party for his three-year-old, I had ribs and chicken and sausage. And I'm just here to say that's a better life than kale and quinoa. I will. Figured I'd get you fired up with that. But anyway, it is shocking to me some of the conversations I have with people that claim to follow Jesus and then they use God's Word and twist it in such a way that I'm like, that is not what the whole counsel of God says. Do you know God's Word well enough that you're able to accurately discern even when reading or when somebody is speaking if it's truth or not? Because check this out. Even the devil knows the Word of God, and he'll try to twist it. He did it to Jesus. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus fasted for 40 days? You might think you have a hard fast going on right now. Some of you are like, oh, I fasted coffee. Jesus fasted 40 days from everything. And then the enemy came in and tempted him and said to Jesus, isn't it written, didn't God say? And you know, Jesus responded the same way he did to the devil that he did to the Pharisees. It is written. Are you able to know the Word of God well enough that when you hear a voice or an impression or idea to go back and say, wait, it is written. Even when you hear the voice of God coming through a sermon on Sunday, are you able to discern if that's God speaking or not? And I told the Mount Dora Church, you need to know this too, for me and for Mark, who you regularly get to hear. You shouldn't just trust what we say. You should test it. And you'll find about 99% of what I say is good and about 93% of what Mark says is good. You need to test. Don't just take what I say today. No, go back and test it. Test it and see if it's what God's Word says. It's the greatest filter we have. And so this is 2019 is like our year of being as we're entering these new core values. Being is the first of those. And so we really want to spend time with God this year and be with him. And that's why we started with prayer and fasting. And I'm excited because one of the things we're doing in the small group season coming up in a few weeks, which you'll hear about in the next couple of weeks, is we're actually all as a church family, both campuses and online, going through a series called the Gospel of Mark, where we're going to be reading the Gospel of Mark together. You'll be preaching about it on Sundays. We'll be in small groups with some Francis Chan-led Bible studies on DVD and going through workbooks. And we're going to be going through, we haven't done that before, where we've all gone through a gospel at the same time. We want to do that because we want you to know the Word of God. It is so important. So number one, does the Bible agree? Number two, let's say this together. Does godly counsel agree? Does godly counsel agree? Not does counsel agree, because you can get a lot of bad counseling and advice out there. But does godly counsel agree? And the key word there is agree, because you can also get a lot of, quote, godly counsel that's not godly. I hear a lot of people that profess the name of Jesus, that the counsel that they give, I'm like, yeah, I don't know that that's what God would say. And so does godly counsel agree? I got some verses from Proverbs that speak about the wisdom that comes with advice and counsel. Proverbs 12 verse 15 says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." 19 verse 20 says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline," which means sometimes it's not going to be easy to listen to advice. It's going to come off as discipline. And at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Proverbs 24, 6, "Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." What I don't want you to think, though, is many advisors is, well, if that person said over here something I didn't want to hear, I'll just go find agreement from somebody else, and you just ask 100 different people that follow Jesus until you get the one that tells you what you actually want to hear. Have you heard the story about the guy that prayed, "Lord, if it's your will for me to get a dozen Krispy Kremes this morning, then when I drive by the Krispy Kreme, you will have the hot and now or hot and ready sign fully displayed." And so as he was driving by the Krispy Kreme, dang, the sign wasn't on. And rather than just going to work and getting on with his day, you know what he did? He took a second lap around, and sure enough, the second time around, hot and now. Well, God, it must be a sign from you. Dozen Krispy Kremes. I feel like some of us do that with advice as we shop around until we actually hear what we want to hear. We're actually closed-minded, trying to look like we're doing it with integrity to get advice, but we don't really want advice. We just want somebody to agree with us. Does godly counsel agree? Let me tell you, if God puts something on your heart, he will confirm it through followers of Jesus time and time again. It also means if you get an idea or an impression and you are resistant and hesitant to bring it up to anybody, it's probably not the voice of God. It could be your pride that keeps you from bringing it up, or it could be that in the back of your mind you already know it's not the voice of God. And so you don't want to tell anybody because you don't actually want to hear what they have to say, because you'll have to accept discipline and hear something you don't want to hear. Ladies, if you are hesitant and resistant to bring it up to your husband, a purchase decision you are about to make online, don't do it. Thought that might get one or two out there. And fellas, if you are looking at pursuing a business venture or a relationship that you are a little bit hesitant and resistant to tell your wife about, don't do it. Because what God puts on your heart, you should never be scared to tell other people. And godly counsel will agree with what they're telling you. And so you need to test the voice with other people. And just like you need the word of God and a growing understanding to really see if that's what the Bible says, what this means is you actually need to have godly counsel in your life, which means you need to have godly people. You need to be surrounded by godly people. I don't know how people do the Christian life without a church family, because that's your godly counsel. And digging even deeper, no matter what the size of the church is on a Sunday, I believe in the importance of a small group. That you need a small group of people around you where you are studying the word of God together each and every week, and you're able to get in real relationship and bounce ideas off of one another and talk about struggles and talk about what's going great and celebrate joys. And you need this sort of relationship in your life so that people can speak into certain situations. And let me just say, and it comes on the heels of in the middle of 21 days of prayer where we've been reading through all these requests, man, I can't tell you how many requests have come in about relationships and marriage. Part of your godly counsel needs to be your spouse. And I bring this up because it is so important who you marry. And I'm flabbergasted at some of the decisions that Christians make in who they date. Dating should lead to marriage. Right? And so why would you enter into a relationship with somebody that the Bible says is unequally yoked? Because let me tell you what will happen. If that goes well and you actually get married and yet they are far away from where you are, maybe don't even have a relationship with God, let me tell you what will happen. You will have signed up for a set of standards that they have not signed up for, and you will constantly be at odds with one another until you die or until Jesus comes into that person. And that doesn't always happen. And so don't always count on that. Know before you go into it, it's important. And I'm so grateful to be married to such an amazing woman that I can check, is this God's voice? And a lot of times I feel she discerns it even better than I do. And you need to be in a relationship in with a spouse that has a strong relationship with God and is able to discern the voice of God with you. I think many times the problems arise when we don't bring up what God tells us and we just act on decisions. Or the problems arise when maybe you do have godly counsel in your life, but your mind is so closed off to hear actual truth. Does the Bible agree? Does godly counsel agree? Number three, let's read this together. Do I have peace? Do you know that the Holy Spirit of the living God is inside of you? And do you know the language that the Holy Spirit speaks with? Peace. Jesus says, I have a peace that this world cannot give you. There is not a bottle or a pill or a man or a woman that could do what I can do for you. The enemy speaks in anxiety. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything. So if it's constantly bringing you anxiety, it's not from God. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that word guard in the Greek is like an army, like a garrison, like it'll surround your heart, which means that this whole world can be in chaos and calamity. And yet God can put a little guard around your heart so that you are walking with peace in the midst of the storm that everybody else is freaking out about. That's the sort of peace that God can give you. And so the question you need to ask is, do I have peace, or is this bringing me angst? This is a question you need to ask quite a bit, because there's going to be opportunities and decisions that are going to come your way quite often. And I've had some of these opportunities recently where I've had to ask, do I feel peace about this, or is there angst in my life? And there was an opportunity that came a couple of months ago that I thought, man, this is amazing. On paper, it looked awesome and the pros far outweighed the cons, but I didn't have peace on the inside about it. And it was frustrating and it was hard because I felt like this was a career building, resume building opportunity that would have given me greater voice and influence and impact, and would have put our church a greater voice and impact and influence as well. And I thought, man, this is perfect. And for a guy that tries to be faith-filled and big thinking, I'm like, man, this is awesome. This is totally God. And the deeper I dug into it, I had less and less peace about it. And I actually had to write them a letter, and in the letter I said, since we've talked last, I haven't been at peace at all. Which is weird, because I thought this thing was an awesome opportunity and I could see so much potential. And I said, I'm sad in writing this, which, by the way, sometimes following the voice of God means giving up the things of this world and what you want to follow what God has, which is better for you. So it's okay to be sad. You can be sad and still have peace. I said, I'm sad in writing this because in turning this opportunity down, I feel like I'm letting my dream down. And the reason I'm turning my dream down is so I can help invest in others' dreams, especially with the two amazing boys God has given to me. Nathan and Brady are going into the most faith formative years of their life, and I don't feel I could assist them in their dreams near as effectively if I pursued this venture further. And so my biggest influence on the kingdom of God right now, I believe, is with my family, and this decision to say no to this is a very clear decision to say yes to Nathan and Brady and our little family. But it's hard because it felt right, or it looked right, but it just, the more I got into it, it didn't feel right. And I'm kind of struggling with it, and I was sad for a little while because, like, God, this is my dream and I feel like this is what you've wired me for. And so why don't I feel peace about it? And I was also wrestling with, man, I got an 11 and 7-year-old, and I don't even know what their dreams are yet. These kids don't have a life fully figured out yet and career plans. Like, why am I having to turn this down for them when I'm struggling with my 11-year-old to get him to hang his towel up? And my 7-year-old, this past week before writing this, just bought several hundred dollars of in-app purchases on Hill Climber. Yeah, we figured it out. There was some punishment. It's all good. My credit card doesn't work with Apple for a while, but that's okay. We got it back. But why? And I actually, at the very end of it, I said, it feels weird that God would have me lay down this opportunity to potentially affect thousands right away so I can teach my kids how to hang a towel up and how to be self-controlled and disciplined when it comes to the flashy things of this world. Yet, these are the small things that I need to do for my kids, believing one day that these very small things will lead to a big difference. For these are the small things that were once done for me that I think have helped make me the man that I am today. not perfect, but certainly following the voice and the will of God. Sometimes his peace doesn't look like what the world says. And we got to give up our own agendas and dreams and what we want for the sake of what God wants. But here's the deal in all of this. If I wasn't in relationship with God and in relationship with my wife and with a few godly men that were able to speak into this, I may not have made that decision. That's why it's so important that you surround yourself with the Word of God, with godly counsel, and then just ask, am I feeling peace about this? Because if you don't, let me tell you what will happen. Other people will tell you what the answers in your life ought to be. And even in that process, I had people on the other side that said, God told me to tell you, dangerous words, by the way, to tell anybody. And I'm not saying he never does that, but God told me to tell you that this is perfect for you. I thought, are you sure you've been talking to God? Because why would he be telling you the opposite of what he's telling me? You need to have peace about what God's telling you. You need to know for yourself and be in relationship with him enough to be able to avoid potentially some really bad advice and counsel from, I think, well-intentioned people, but aren't always connected and tuned in, because I know I'm not always. And we always need to test. Every single one of us, if that's the voice of God. When God speaks, it will give you peace, not angst. So, does the Bible agree? Does godly counsel agree? And do I have peace? If it passes all three of those, it very well could be the voice of God. Let me tell you, if you're still struggling after that, there's a few other questions you could ask. I'll go through these real quick. Will this make me more like Jesus? God will never ask you to do something that will make you less like his son. Our goal in this world, after being in relationship with him, is to become as much like him as we can. Will it make me more like Jesus? How about this? Is it consistent with how God made me, how God shaped me, how God gifted me? I know from the Word of God that worship is an amazing thing. I know that godly counsel would say worship is an amazing thing. When I worship God, I feel at peace about it. But that doesn't mean if God says, Zach, you should, or if somebody, a voice says, God, you should be a worship leader, that I should be a worship leader. I don't need you piping up, Miss Linda. Because I left my mic on last week during one of the songs and it wasn't half bad on live stream. But it's not how he wired me. A little more comfortable doing this. How about this question? Does it concern my responsibility? If it's not your responsibility, then why should God talk to you about it? A good example of this is Peter. Right? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, one day you're going to die. You're going to be a martyr for me. It's going to be a brutal, horrible death. And as he said that to Peter, Peter was unhappy and he pointed at his friend John and said, well, what about John? Human behavior, right? Well, this is awful things. What about my buddy John? And Jesus said this, if I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. What is that to you? Witty, W-I-T-T-Y. What is that to you? We need to remember that we are not the Holy Spirit and we are not God for someone else. And I'm not saying God will never give you a word before we try to fix everybody else's problems. What's God saying to you? Is it my responsibility? How about this one? Is it convicting or condemning? God's voice will never be condemning. It may be convicting because God loves you and God wants something better for you, but it'll never be condemning. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If that voice feels condemning, that's not from God. How about this last one? Is it wise? God would never put something unwise in your path. And man, if we asked this three-word question before we made every big decision in this life, it'll take away so many headaches and so much stress. Be a lot less pills and needed in this world if we asked this question. And I wanted you to know these questions, this filter, so that you can clearly hear the voice of God, because God is speaking. There are some things, though, that I think we don't really need to run it all the way through the filter, because God's already said it. Right? We are hearers and doers of God's word. I think sometimes we overanalyze and we overfilter what God says to us and we check it with five things and it check, 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 check. And it's like, well, let me just get one more. And by the time that opportunity God put before you, you actually don't have the time to do it because that opportunity's passed. because you didn't discern God's voice in the moment. I want to tell you five really quick things God's going to put on your heart that absolutely is the voice of God. And you may recognize these words. The first is being. If there's a voice that tells you to spend time in relationship with God, praying, fasting, silence, worship, that is God's voice. That is not the enemy. Another one is forgiving. If there is something inside of you, an impression, an idea that says, man, I need to forgive that person or talk to that person and offer forgiveness and grace, or, man, I need to just repent and confess of my sins before God, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The enemy would never tell you that. Serving. In a self-centered world, to be hands and feet and help others and serve the needs of our community, that's God's voice, not the enemy. Giving. In a world that is very consumed with me, myself, and I, and building our own kingdoms in this world, if there is a thought of generosity or giving up the number one idol in our country for the cause of something greater, that is God's voice. Going. If there's something inside of you that just feels like God is speaking to you and telling you to tell somebody else about the grace of Jesus Christ, that is the Holy Spirit working in you. Sometimes we don't need to run these things through the filter. But there are some things that are more difficult and complicated. And I wanted to give you a voice of God filter. And I thought, how am I going to make this practical? And so I was thinking this. Well, every month or every 3 months, depending on how fancy your air filters are, you got to change those things. And they're usually tucked behind a door. Part of the reason why it's annoying for me is because we block both of the doors where our air filters are. So I got to move everything out. But that's just my struggle, first world problems that I have. But they're usually behind a door. Nobody's going to see. And so I thought, what would it look like? And it might be really cool if every time that we checked and changed our air filters in our homes, if we checked and possibly changed our voice of God filter with him, what would it look like? It wouldn't be hard for you to put a little post-it note up there or just a postcard with some tape on it. And put these three questions to check your voice of God filter. If, does the Bible agree is the first question, then I'm going to put on that card, am I in the Word of God daily? If does godly counsel agree is the second question, then I'm going to write, am I surrounded by godly community? And if do I have peace is the third question, I'm just going to put on there, am I living in peace right now? And that may sound corny for you to do that every month or every couple months when you change it, but if a few of you do this, it could actually put you right back in the path and the relationship that God wants for you. And the great news in this whole series is that God is speaking and God desires relationship with us. What an amazing God that we have. And I want to close with these verses from John chapter 10, where Jesus, the good shepherd, says this. He says, when he, Jesus, has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because, look at this, they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. That's my prayer this week for you, is that you would be so in tune with God that you know his voice, that when he speaks, you follow. When he says go, you go. When he says do, you do. You can be so in tune with the voice of God. Now the enemy will keep speaking and he'll shout at you so you're going to hear that voice. But you can be so connected with God that you don't recognize. You're going to hear it, but you don't recognize and you know not to follow the voice that's coming after you. That's been my prayer for you as I've been prepping this message all week, is God, may we be so connected that we know your voice, that we follow you and we don't follow or recognize the stranger's voice. This whole series has been about hearing the voice of God. If you're saying, Zach, I've never heard the voice of God. Or maybe I once did, but it's been a long time. It's possible to know about God and not know God. Jesus said, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is you don't belong to God. If you have never heard the voice of God, if you're struggling to hear the voice of God, there is something called sin that blocks our relationship with him. And the Bible says that God died for that sin on the cross. So that very thing that's been blocking you from hearing the voice of God and being in real relationship, I want you to know has already been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. But the Word of God says you need to confess. And when you do, He'll hear you, He'll forgive you, He'll cleanse you, and He'll put you right back in the path where you can hear and follow His voice. So after you confess, you have to receive. And my fear is that there may be some of you that somebody's just been dragging you here, and you've been coming, and maybe you've been hearing all of this, and you're not sure about it all, but it's never really become personal for you. God's saying to you today, simply receive my gift. Confess, and then receive. So I wanted to end this sermon. I'm going to have Mark actually come up and lead us in a confession. And after that confession, I'm going to have him lead us in receiving. And I don't know where you're at, if you've received God before, but have walked far away, and today's the day where, God, I need to receive that again. I want to hear from you. Or if it's, God, I've never received you, and it's never been my own faith. And today is the day. We're going to confess, and we're going to receive. Come on, let's stand in this place right now. Let's get in a posture to confess before the Lord.
Let's close our eyes in this place today, and let's forget about the person on our left. Let's forget about the person on our right. Right now, this is a special moment just between you and the Lord. And like Pastor Zach said, God wants to speak to us. He desires relationship with us. We have a relational God. We have a God that left eternity, stepped out of heaven, came to where we were, took on the form of a man, suffered on the cross, so that we might be in relationship with Him. So this morning, if you're in this place and, man, maybe you've come to church your whole life, maybe you've never been to church, maybe you know the story about Jesus, maybe you've never heard the story about Jesus, the question is not whether you've experienced religion or not, but the question is, do you know Christ? Is He a part of your life? There's this beautiful moment in the Gospels where Jesus says to His disciples, who do men say that I am? And they answer the question and they say, well, some people say that you're Elijah. Some people say that you're a great prophet. Some people say this. Some people say that. And Jesus stops them and He says, look, it's not about what other people have said about me. My question to you is this, who do you say that I am? And I firmly believe today that the moment is going to come in every single one of our lives where God is going to come knocking on the door of our hearts, and He's going to ask the question, who do you say that I am? And we know that Peter responds by saying, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So this morning, if you are in this place and you do not know Jesus, you're not in relationship with Jesus, you are not walking a road with Him, then I want to give you this opportunity right now, this morning, to make Him the Lord and Savior of your life, to receive His free gift of grace into your life. I know what some of you are thinking, though. You're standing here and you're thinking to yourself, man, I want to become a Christian, but you don't understand the things that I've done in my life. You don't understand the bad things that have happened to me. You don't understand the bad things that I've done to other people. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. That's what this is all about. It's not about coming to Him perfect, but it's about coming to Him in all your brokenness, in all your mess, in all the stuff that's happened in your life, and saying, Lord, I bring it to you. And it's when you come to Him where He forgives you, He washes you clean of all of your trespasses. It's about coming to Him just as we are. Maybe you're in this place today and you say, Mark, you know what? I want to become a Christian, but I'm afraid that if I make the commitment, I won't be able to follow through. I won't be able to follow Jesus. I'll be a hypocrite. Listen to me this morning. As we come into relationship with Jesus, He gives us His Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us and start to live life through us. So this morning I want you to come as you are. So today, if you're in this place and you've never received Christ into your life, and as Pastor Zach has been speaking this morning, as I'm on the stage speaking right now, you can't help but feel that little knock at the door of your heart that he was speaking about, that voice, that thing on the inside that's urging you on. You can experience it right now. If that's you this morning and you want to receive Christ into your life, maybe you walked with him a long time ago, but you've walked away. You're no longer serving him. If that's you today, then with every eye closed in this place, and every head bowed, no looking around. It's not about the person on your right or your left. This is between you and the Lord. When I count to three this morning, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. So if that's you this morning, you want to receive him into your life, I want to pray for you. So when I get to three, quickly, be brave, be bold, and declare him before men this morning. So one, two, three. Slip it up if that's you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands going up all over this place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Alrighty. Once you've slipped your hand up, you can put it down. Now I want all of us to pray together. Pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for being raised from the dead. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you have forgiven my sins. Lord Jesus, I'm going to live for you, spirit, soul, and body. Father, I want to thank you for every person in this place that is receiving your grace, receiving your mercy, receiving your forgiveness this morning. Father, I want to thank you that as we come into relationship with you, Lord, we can hear your voice, Father, and you will speak to us. So Father, I want to thank you for your voice. I want to thank you for an intimate relationship. I want to thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you will come and you will lead us and you will guide us into all truth. I want to thank you for this amazing work that you're doing in this place, Lord. Last but not least this morning, we're going to worship one more song this morning before we go, but I want to pray for all those in this place that you have a relationship with God, but right now you're in a spot in your life where you are trusting God for an answer. You are wrestling with something. You need wisdom for something. You're crying out to the Lord. So I'm going to pray right now that as we worship this morning, as we dig into his word, as we look at godly counsel, that he will lead us and guide us into all truth. So Father, we want to thank you this morning for your voice. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the cornerstone of everything in this life, Father. I thank you, Lord, that as we lean on you, as we trust in you, as we rely upon you, Father, I thank you that your voice is louder than the storm. And I thank you for your amazing grace and your amazing forgiveness, Father. I want to thank you, Lord, that you will speak to your children, speak to them clearly, lead us and guide us, Father. I thank you for wisdom, Lord. Thank you, Father.